Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Now, uniting Ireland is the aspiration to varying degrees of all political parties currently represented in Dáil Éireann, and the affordability of that aspiration has been the topic of a lot of discussion in recent days, with the publication of a report by the International Institute of European Affairs that predicts the cost of unity being 20 billion per year for 20 years. Now, Matt Carthy, there's some dispute, some of it raised by your own party about these figures, but is there any point in engaging on what it might cost or what it won't cost, when surely the cost of it is not the selling point, from your point of view, of a united Ireland?
Well, the reason I'm passionate about a united Ireland is the reason I got involved in politics, is because I believe absolutely it will be a better Ireland for everybody, and that includes economically. So, of course, I welcome any debate and any contribution to that the debate. I have to say, this isn't a report. It's a relatively short paper. In my view, it is coming at the argument from the wrong starting point. It's working under the assumption that the North's economy will continue in the same guise in the event of a united Ireland. Forgets the very rationale why those of us who want to see a united Ireland.
Your colleague Pádraig McLoughlin, when he was arguing against it, pointed to an alternative report by Professor Kurt Hubner from the University of British Columbia. Do you agree that that's a good analysis
It talks about economic growth as opposed to the cost.
Based on an economic model called CGE, which in the past you criticised. This is Professor Kurt. You said it was widely critiqued and flawed when it came to that economic modelling being used for the Irish government to sell
and you know, Colin, because you follow
economic model.
No, but you know the difference between carrying out internal domestic economic analysis and inter-trading relationships.
Sure,
which
you described it as widely critiqued and flawed
in respect of trading relationships, and you know this, we've had this conversation before, but what I will say to is this: in my view, I come from a border community, nobody will ever convince me that it makes economic sense that an island of 7 million people on the edge of Europe has two health systems, two transport systems, and two economic development agencies that are operating back to back. So I think it's welcome that the conversation has started, but now the planning has to start.
Éan O'Riordan, Labour published a policy on a united Ireland in the last few weeks as well. Did cost enter into it in terms of a consideration, or is this an aspiration that goes beyond that?
Well, it is, because we're talking about, we have a human rights approach to this, we have the great exciting potential for a new Ireland. We have a million people in the north of the country who don't sign up necessarily to the aspirations that people down here may have. I think Matt is right. We need to have this conversation. I don't like putting price tags on things such as ending poverty, ending homelessness, ending educational disadvantage, because we should be better than that. However, we need to talk about systems such as the education system, the health system. The size of the state in the north is actually much bigger, the number of public servants, etc. But, you know, the lives that people could live in this new shared Ireland, Ireland, it could be greatly enhanced as a result of which. So the conversation is worthy of us, and I think it's an exciting time. But it can't be about waving flags and eating flags and emblems and old tired, songs and rebel songs. That needs to go. I mean, to start talking differently about the type of space we're going to have.
Hildegard Nocton, you're a trained soprano. I'm not going to ask you to sing any of those songs. Éan O'Riordan doesn't want sung. But Fine Gael, the United Ireland Party, whatever happened to that tagline?
We believe in a united Ireland. I think the IIEA report, I think that's a very useful contribution to all these discussions. But I think the bottom line here is what we're doing in the Shared Ireland Initiative, which is about listening to people, bringing people with us on this journey. It's not just calling for a united Ireland and thinking that's going to deliver it. I think the work of the government's Shared Ireland Initiative, where they have this dialogue, which is already engaged with over 2,500 people, north, south, east and west, that's the way forward to make sure that we're listening to everyone's experiences.
That's it. I'm afraid we're out of time.